Welcome to the show where we unearth new ways of looking at ever-evolving life around the world, seen from a number of different industries, cultures, and backgrounds. But there's one thing that unites everyone I speak to. They all want to do their part to make the world better in their own unique ways. It's a uniting passion. Whether they're from the commercial world, third sector, or public sector, from the global north or the global south, my name is Philippa White, and welcome to Thai Unearthed. Hello, and welcome to episode 28. Today, I'm speaking with Emily Murren, a marketing leader with more than 12 years of experience across diverse industries in both the UK and Australia. She's deeply connected to the marketing industry, regularly judges awards, and also speaks at forums and industry events. Last year, she was selected from over 500 marketing leaders to receive a scholarship to the prestigious Marketing Academy. And Emily recently completed the Thai Accelerator program. In today's episode, Emily talks about where listening to her gut instincts took her, the power of knowing what your values are, and five unexpected lessons that came from the Atlantic rainforest. As Roy Disney says, it's not hard to make decisions when you know what your values are. So grab your favorite beverage or throw on those running shoes and enjoy this wonderful chat with Emily. Hi, Emily. It's lovely to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Philippa. How are you?
I'm good. Now, you're obviously speaking to me from Sydney. You're wearing a woolly jumper. It looks cold.
It is cold. Cold for Australia anyway. I think between 10 and 15 degrees. So, a bit chilly here.
Yeah, it looks it. Well, I miss wearing my sweaters, obviously sitting here. It is cold, as I just mentioned to you, obviously, before we started recording. It's cold here too, but it's about, you know, plus 20, 24, 23. But anyway, I also feel the cold. So yeah, really great to have you here. I've got so many questions for you. Let's kick this off. So tell me, you know, a little bit about you, what you do.
So I am currently living in Sydney, but I'm originally from the UK. So I've lived in Sydney now I always get confused between how long I've been in my job that I'm currently in and how long I've been in Australia. But I've been in Australia, I think this is my eighth year. Wow. So I've been here quite a while. Yeah, I came here with a rucksack on for my 6-month working holiday visa and never left. I'm one of those people.
I have to say, you actually have picked up a little bit of the twang. You have a little bit of an accent. You've got it.
Yeah, they say that. Although apparently, when I speak now, you've probably mentioned that I'll probably subconsciously really dial up my English accent. But yeah, you do pick up the Aussie twang. It's like the going up at the end of sentences. I've been here a while now, and yeah, just love living here, Sydney. It's just been the most incredible opportunity, really, and just so full of opportunity living here. So I've loved it, and currently working as the director of marketing in a company called Domain. So we have an audience of around 7 million Australians that come to our platform every month to look at properties and help them find a home. So I've been doing that now for around 5 or 6 years. So the business has gone through an absolutely enormous amount of growth and transformation. Have felt really kind of honoured to have joined at the very beginning of that journey and help build the team and the strategy through all of that. So, that's what I kind of do for work and outside of work. Have a beautiful little Groodle that we got, was our COVID puppy. Absolutely love. I've never had a dog before. It's been an absolute joy having a dog. Last year I did my first triathlon. So really trying to get more into kind of that side of things. I loved doing that, and the kind of mix of running, swimming and cycling was awesome. I think I'm somebody that has a bit of a short attention span. So doing three things rather than doing like a long run for 24 miles, like a marathon or something, is not really my thing. Doing the mix up was good for me. So that's a little bit about me.
Well, I know that you applied for Thai Accelerator and got involved. It was January, wasn't it? And so you probably would have applied at the end of
2020. So tell me how just COVID got you thinking differently. What was sort of the lead up to that? What was kind of happening?
Yeah, well, I was already on a amazing scholarship called the Marketing Academy at the time. So through that, I actually started working with a coach. And we were doing lots of exercises around really diving deep into, I guess, what makes me tick. And we actually did a really incredible exercise that really dove into what my values were. And when we went through that exercise, it was quite a simple exercise of, it was like lists of hundreds of words. And you do different exercises to kind of narrow them down to a list of 50, a list of 10, a list of 5. And you get to a point where you really get this understanding of what really matters to you. And when I went through that exercise, we did lots of talking around, I guess, what kind of lights you up and what sparks you and what really makes you feel excited. And it can be things that on the surface, for example, I've really enjoyed across my career, leading teams, helping people progress in their careers. And this sense of kind of giving back and help, and how can I do something that's both impactful but gives back beyond, I guess what I was doing in my day to day, was something that started to come through really clearly. I was actually a bit of a motivator for doing the scholarship in the first place. I really wanted to kind of understand a bit more about myself. So that was kind of the spark. And actually the opportunity to apply for Thai came through the Marketing Academy, I think. I think Sherilyn, obviously.
Yeah, Sherilyn. Yeah. And Taylor.
Oh yeah. So that was kind of what really sparked me. But I think it was that, like, I've been reflecting a lot over the past few years, I guess, around the next step in my career and in my life and what do I want. And this sense of actually really doing something where completely I was really focused on giving my energy back to something beyond what I was doing, not only in my day-to-day role, but also my friendship group and my immediate circle and even my immediate community, was kind of the driving force. And then this... then it kind of landed. And around that time, I know, Philippa, we'd started talking, and there were a couple of projects that potentially were coming through. And that's when I heard the podcast of your interview with Binka, who was who's the founder of Era Can Be. And when I heard that, that's what really kind of all started to land.
So tell me what, because there was something specific in that podcast, I think, that really spoke to you. You're the one who really kind of highlighted something that really, and I remember you sending me an email and being like, oh my God, that really spoke to me. Bring that to life.
Yeah, it was the story of the hummingbird. So I guess, like, Binka herself, I think just... She has an incredible, like you, Philippa, an incredible energy and passion. And again, I think for me, like, being around people who have that kind of igniting energy is something that really gives me a lot of kind of drive. And when I was listening to your podcast and how you were kind of bouncing off one another, I was like, oh God, I think this is something I really would love to be involved in. And then she started talking through the logo and how the logo design had changed over time and the beautiful little hummingbird that was now an integral part of the logo. And I think you asked her, well, what's the story of the hummingbird?
And actually, just really quickly, because it was a sloth before, wasn't it? Which
is a sloth.
She talked about it just really quickly, just for our listeners, because they work with the rainforest. And obviously a sloth is an animal that, you know, I see sloths all the time when I'm going through the rainforest here. And so that sort of, for the longest time, they identified with this. And then there was somebody who had actually been through Thai previously, and she said, maybe a sloth isn't the right or the right animal to identify with. And they're like, oh yeah, I guess that's a good point. So anyway, so then they moved to the hummingbird, and then so go on.
Yeah, and that, so I think the story of the hummingbird, it's so much more than the logo. And Binka spoke through how I think it's kind of an old parable in Brazilian culture, but it was about how there was a fire in the forest, and all of the animals are kind of scurrying to escape. And then one of the animals looks up, and there's a tiny little hummingbird with a drop of water in its beak, and it looks across the forest and it's trying to look where to place this little drop of water. And one of the animals says to the bird, like, that little drop of water is not going to do anything. Like, why bother with that little drop of water? And the hummingbird responds, well, I'm just trying to do my part. And for me, it was just like, oh my God, in that moment, it was like exactly that, like been trying in some ways to shift all of my behaviors in my life to try and be a better person and give back. But that was it. It kind of was like, oh, that's it. That's all I've got to do is just do these little things that feel like I'm doing my part and that's enough. Yeah. So for me, it was like, it just really spoke to the core of why I was even exploring this opportunity in the first place. Yeah. And it was real, like one of those little moments. I call them like little, you know, they're little signs from the universe and those little things that are like, yeah, you're on the right path here. This is what you should be doing.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? How it all kind of lines up as well. Just having, you know, spoken to your coach and then listening to the podcast, obviously then getting the email from Sherilyn and Taylor. And yeah, that's really, really nice. I mean, what did you hope to, because obviously, I think what's tricky that we really struggle actually helping people understand, I mean, what Thai is all about and what Thai Accelerator is all about and, you know, why somebody would want to, you know, get involved. And I just wonder, what did you hope to accomplish? And we'll talk about sort of what came out of it in a sec, but what did you hope to accomplish and your expectations, I guess, and did it match it? And did you even know what to expect? I mean, obviously I talked about it, because I think that's the thing. I think I'm actually quite impressed with the people that applied like right at the beginning, and you're one of those people, because you kind of went into this being like, I don't know. I mean, so I'm just curious to know, did you have expectations? What was it that kind of, what drew you to it, other than obviously the stuff that you've just talked about? What did you hope to get out of it? Or were you just kind of like, were you just looking for inspiration? I'm keen to know what made the...
It's a good question. And it's kind of two-pronged for me. So firstly, I am somebody that really listens to my gut. Like I have, like, when those gut instincts come and things like that line up and I get that real feeling that I'm on the right path, I follow that. So this was one of those for me, to be completely honest, where I was like, I obviously did my research and looked into what other people had got from the program and what it was all about. But when I started looking at Irukandhi and what they were trying to do, I was just like, I just want to be part of that. I didn't overthink it in terms of, oh, well, how does this fit into my development plan? And, you know, is this the right thing for me to be investing my time in right now? I'm just kind of one of those people, once my mind's made up, it's like, right, I'm all in, I'm going to make this work. So that was one side of it. But then I guess once you've signed up, and it's a significant time investment in a way, so really wanting to be clear with myself about, okay, but what are the things that I would love to hope to have achieved on the other side of it? And I think there was one around really starting to understand like the not-for-profit NGO sector a bit better, because I think if you've not worked in it, you hear a lot that it's, oh my God, it's another world, it's so different. And I really wanted to expose myself to that and really understand what that meant. And I think I got a really good understanding of how those differences, what those differences are. And the little article that I've pinned down really goes into that, because I think the expectations of what I had or what I thought I might get out of it, which was like, you know, this sense of like, I've contributed something to really give back. It wasn't that. It was actually a flip reverse of like, really some of the skills I had to pull without even really realizing that they would be what I needed. And somebody once said to me, your career is nothing more than a tool belt. You've got a tool belt that you wear around your waist every day, and you've got all these different tools that you use and you pull out in different situations all throughout your career. What can you do to make that tool belt as full and as kind of robust as possible? And I think for me, this was like, right, okay, I've got all these skills. How can I start using them to help something?
That's nice.
So I don't think that directly answers the question, but it was a bit of a mix.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's interesting, just the tool belt. I like that analogy. I often, and I remember feeling this a long time ago, but I also see life almost like a puzzle that we almost don't know what the picture is yet. And every kind of experience becomes almost like a piece of that puzzle, and you start to kind of piece things together and you start to see maybe part of that picture, but you're aware that there's other pieces. And it's kind of these types of experiences help shape that picture, and you start to kind of piece things together anyway. So I like the tool, but
completely,
kind of see that.
And I get that, Philippa, because I feel like I don't know where I'm headed next, but I know that the Thai experience was a real key milestone on that journey, and I think it definitely cracked open for me the possibility of you know, really working in a completely different kind of realm, and not even, you know, working for money, but actually how can you be more active in a community of giving back? And I think that was one of the big things for me that I kind of didn't expect to come
that's
out
cool.
of the experience.
Yeah, that's cool. So tell me, what was the experience like for so someone who's listening? How would you sum up that experience, and how would you explain what you managed to pull off? And maybe a bit about like what the challenge was, because I don't even think we've talked about that yet. So, I mean, we talked about the organization, it's a rainforest organization, but perhaps just bring to life kind of what your challenge was, what you did, what the experience was like, what you managed to make happen.
Yeah, so the experience as a total, the experience was, I guess, intense, but in the best possible way. What was really interesting is we were a group of people from all around the world who were all on different time zones. So there was kind of one time that kind of this 1 hour or 2 hours a day where we could all kind of be online at like a semi-reasonable time. So it wasn't like the middle of the night for somebody. And what going into the experience, I remember looking at it and being like, wow, 8 p.m. I'm a morning person. I love getting up early. After probably 6 p.m., I feel like I'm pretty useless. But remember seeing that and being like, oh, how am I going to cope with this? But what I found was because of what we were doing was so inspiring and engaging, and it really kind of, I remember I'd come off the calls at 10 p.m. and not be able to sleep because I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so excited and I just want to get going now. And I think, again, that was a real thing that I didn't expect for the whole process to be so energizing. Yes, it's intense and it's a time investment, but the kind of sense of energy that it gives you is really something special, I think. It was very intense, but very kind of eye-opening and just quite profound. I just think I've never done anything like it in my life, and actually to be thrown together with a group of strangers remotely and how six human beings react when you do that. It's actually, that in itself is a fascinating experiment, I think. But it was just wonderful.
What was the brief? Just so, because I'm aware of our listeners being like, what did you work on?
Yeah, what do you,
was what,
it? Did you
what do?
Do
you do?
The simple brief was to make the regeneration of the Atlantic rainforest more attractive than its destruction. And I think that that kind of one-liner was something that was really important that we had as a real one-liner to keep coming back to. That was our North Star. And I guess that was the project. It was like, how do you do that? And we were given a lot of, it wasn't just that, we were given a lot of help and guidance and background as to how Arakambi had got to where they are today. They were not a new organisation. They were 21 years old. They are 21 years old, maybe 22 now, I don't know. Had already planted 150,000 trees. But the challenge, as we got more into it, we kind of discovered that it wasn't so much about just attracting donations. It was about how do we develop a strategy that really means they've got a sustainable, reliable income source. Taking it away from those kind of sporadic donations, which are fantastic, but obviously not, it can be quite a stressful way to work. So I think that was the kind of bold challenge.
Yeah. And with that in mind, then, what did you guys, as a team working together across numerous time zones, what did you come up with? Like how did that come together, and what came together? What was the fun? Because you had six, just for our listeners, Thai Accelerator, it's we say 2 hours a day, and you can use it, you can work it around your existing workload, and you know, it might be that you spend more some days and maybe less other days, but that's our sort of, that's what we try for as far as sort of guidance for people. It's virtually, and everyone coming together to work towards a brief And then cracking it at the end of 6 weeks. And of course, following the process and the sort of the guidance of Ty. But, you know, the idea is coming up with a final solution as a team to provide for the organization. So the brief was how can they get sort of longer term financial support, I guess, or to create sort of more long term financial sustainability. And you've got 6 weeks. Go.
Yeah. go. And I think it did take us, to be honest, it takes a little while for a group of new people with different backgrounds, different skill sets, different opinions on how you approach the challenge to come together. And I think it probably took us about 2 weeks to keep meeting up and really understand what we could each go off, peel off and discover in our own time. So that was a really important part of the process, I think, and really diving in to kind of everybody's background. And then making sure that we had regular times in the diary to come back together and really work through what we'd all individually worked on. So that group work aspect was really, really important. And through, I think early on, we really decided that it was going to be important to leave Irukandji with something that not only had we, I guess, was going to set them up, but going to set them up for a long time. And also that they were part of the process of developing it with us. And that was probably one of the key pieces that worked really, really well, was having Irukandji embedded right from the start in our WIPs and how we were working with them and checking with them the entire way along the process. So, yeah, that was just more of a ways of working thing. And what we decided to develop was a prospectus that they could take to different corporate partners with an overview of what Irukandji was, dove into what they did, how the process of planting trees worked. We came up with kind of a real clear breakdown of what it costs to plant a tree. And it was a kind of real interesting challenge for us to get that kind of communication right of how do you tell the story in a really concise way and then actually ask for the sale at the end of this prospectus and say, you know, here's our tiered sponsorship options. And within that, so you've got this prospectus and part of it's like shaping the communication strategy. Part of it's really diving into the numbers and looking at the tiered sponsorship strategy. So what we did was really kind of played to our strengths and made sure we were leaning into where we had experience. But then also coming back together and reviewing things as a group to make sure we were getting that really rounded view and kind of not siloing and going, right, okay, this is my expertise, this is what I'm contributing, but actually coming together to review things together, and that worked really well.
Yeah, I think what was really interesting about the sort of the final result, I mean, there's so much. I mean, obviously, Binka said, you guys changed our lives. It was amazing. And they've recently had a chat with a whole lot of investors that have shown interest. But I think for me, one of the biggest, most important, is it realizations or value added for the organization, was before, as an organization, it was almost an apologetic ask for money. So it was kind of, you know, oh, come on, you know, please, can you give us money? You know, we need this so that we can continue doing what we do. And I think what you as a team from the private sector so beautifully positioned for them was, you do realize that what you're doing is improving the world, and you're actually making like the corporates are looking for this. And it's almost like you guys needed to help them see that in order to be able to make this a success. And I think, so I don't know if you have anything to say about that. But for me, that was one of the biggest aha moments for me, was, God, this is the power of bringing the private sector together with the social sector, because I feel like the social sector almost doesn't know how to position themselves like that. And you guys are like, are you crazy? You're doing the world a favor, and people need to see that as value added.
Yeah, when you said that, Philip, it just gave me goosebumps, because I actually think it was a profound learning for myself as well. And part of the process is for us each to go out and do a bit of fundraising at the beginning. And I love that part of the process so much more so than I thought, because it's not a lot of money. I think it was like 200 quid,
I think. Yeah, 200.
Yeah. But going through the process of actually articulating the story, and actually what I found, which, because I was pretty successful, I was really proud of how much I managed to raise. And what I found was, doing a blast on social media is fantastic. We all have the tools to do that. Actually sitting down with somebody that you care about and explaining to them why this is important to you, why you're doing it, and why you believe in this cause, people were so generous. And that was one of the biggest learnings, as you say, like that sense of not being apologetic asking for a sale. I remember reaching out to my boss and our CEO at Domain, and they were so supportive because they were like, this is fantastic. And I think it was a real learning for me that actually never assume that people aren't going to be willing to get behind a great cause, because people really, really do want to be part of something and they want to give back too. So that was a huge learning for me. And I'm glad I took the time with the fundraising to really sit down and go through with like people that cared about me, care about the world. I really kind of picked out of everybody I know. I was like, these are the 10 people that are really going to care about this. They're going to get this straight away. And people were like, oh my God, I just want to know more. Which is what led me to write a few words about it, just to share with them, to kind of wrap up the experience, because it was so incredible.
Yeah, so talk to us about that, just because I loved what you wrote. And as I say, I'm going to be sending it out in a newsletter on Friday, because I think it's such a great insight to the experience. But also, I think your takeaways were really, just really wonderful. So perhaps you can bring those to life for us.
Yep. So I think, as I mentioned earlier, like my takeaways from the experience probably weren't the ones that I went in thinking may happen. But again, really, they're not really directly just related to this experience. It's life lessons, I think. So the first was really around don't assume anything. I think there's no greater lesson than being thrust into something you know nothing about. I think, especially for me, I've been working at Domain for a long time, and you feel, I guess, comfortable. And even when new things happen to the industry, and you're really trying to, in my role, it's really important that we're looking ahead and looking at prop tech and trends, you're still in a sort of frame of reference that you're familiar with. Whereas this was so far out of what I knew, and there was just no room for assumption, really. And I think that was one of the lessons we learned really early on in the training that we did in the first week, was just really take the time to, local context is absolutely everything, and never assume that you know. And I think that's something I will kind of always kind of carry with me. And just that kind of sense of inquisitiveness that I think that encourages is really, really positive, not just in this project, but in life. So that was the first one. And that kind of does lead on to the second one, around really asking questions, but not asking questions to hop in with your opinion, which again can be something that, you know, we all do, but really, truly, truly deep listening. And I think deep listening was a skill that we had some real deep learning on the Marketing Academy. And actually, it's something I'd never even heard of before. But actually, if you look into it, there are real skills in actually deeply listening to somebody, not to jump in with your opinion, but just to understand. And I think this project was great for that, because you have people who just have so much information and context that you don't know. So that was the second one. The third was around the strengths piece, which I spoke to earlier. Again, it was just around taking the time to know your strengths and really play to them. And actually a learning for me, which is something I'd probably do differently if I did the experience again, was I think probably being really upfront and maybe having a bit of a session early on that's like, let's be really direct about our skills and not be, I think we're all quite modest in ways, and people are like, you know, you kind of let things naturally unfold. In something as quick paced as the accelerator program, I actually think it's a really healthy thing to go, okay, what skills do I have? We did do it a little bit, but I think we could probably amp that up more and be a bit more disciplined around using the skills. So that was my third one. And then the fourth was around energy. And I think this sense of flow and being in flow, and that sense of when you're truly doing something that is meaningful and that you love, how that feels. And for me, this project and working on the accelerator program, which is the first time I'd really had that deep sense of flow and really understanding what that meant, which is, you know, that feeling of being in that mental state where things just feel like they are so easy. You are not distracted. You're just where you are, which was just incredible, and something that I'll be forever grateful for the opportunity.
That's amazing. That's really great to hear. Yeah. That. Sorry to cut you off, but that's lovely to hear.
No, but I think that's, for me, it's really that's ignited that within me. And going back to the piece I mentioned on values right at the beginning, the three that came through really strongly were authenticity, passion, and inspiration. And my coach said to me, wherever you feel that in your body and whatever ignites those feelings, just follow that. Just follow that. And I think this is exactly that. And this is what I'll be seeking next wherever I go. How do I ignite those feelings within myself and follow that? So yeah, my last learning was just really around what I spoke to about people are really generous when you ask for help. So you take the time and really, really, if you're really passionate about doing something, just take time chatting to people that you care about. Take time chatting to really influential people in your circle that can help you. And don't be afraid to ask and reach out directly. People want to hear from you. And I think that was something, again, that I've learned and been like, yep, this is something I'm going to kind of really lean into. Okay. So they were the five ones that I kind of had run through in the article.
And how do you have any reflections on how this experience and also just these insights, which are beautiful, and like I say, my goal is this, and it was just great that, I mean, I did not ask you to even write this. This came from you completely on your own, and you sent it to me. I was like, this is exactly, I couldn't ask for more. That's what I would hope comes out of something like this, and I'm thrilled that it did. And it would just be, you know, how do you see this impacting your work, or do you have any thoughts on just, because obviously TIE Accelerator and TIE in general is leadership development, even for people who are CEOs. You know, there's always room for growth, and there's always room for inspiration and seeing the world differently and just being better. And I you know, this really does reach so many different people and levels and senior leaders. And I just wonder how do you see this impacting you? And I guess what could you tell maybe somebody who would be wanting to apply? Obviously everyone's going to get something different out of it, I think, but yeah, just how you see this impacting your work moving forward.
I think moving forwards, it's really fundamentally kind of shifted, I guess, through those learnings that I had. It's how do I pull those through? Like things like deep listening, never assuming. It's actually, again, principles for great work. It's not just principles for, you know, great work on an accelerator program. It's just, I think for me, really refined some of the principles of great ways of working and great leadership. And actually, you know, great leaders are ones that, you know, almost don't feel like leaders. They feel like they're just part of the team and they're guiding a ship on its way. And I think for me, that's exactly what we all were. It was like there was no one leader. So how do we come together to really share that sense of responsibility? And for me, kind of more longer term into the future, I will definitely be using this as my North Star of like, right, how did you feel in that moment? And how do you get more of that in your life? So I've started thinking about that a lot recently, and whether that, you know, one day is my own business or something. I've really been thinking about that, but really underpinned by who are those change makers and people that are going to do great, great things in the world, like yourself and Binka, and people who are really, you know, you believe that you can make a difference and not, again, not worry too much about, oh, well, I'm not, you know, saving 150,000 trees. It's like, no, but you're saving two or three and that's enough.
The hummingbird
story. And coming back to that, it's just, that is it for me. It's like, don't overthink, you know, starting. What's that quote? It's like, do what you can with what you have and start where you are. And I think for me, that kind of, wraps up this experience of don't overthink what you're trying to get out of it or map it all out. It's just, if you're interested and there's a project that excites you, I think for me, that's enough. It's like, it will take you on an amazing journey and who knows where that will lead.
Amazing. Now tell me, we're wrapping up, but what haven't I asked you that you'd like to tell our listeners as we come to an end?
The only thing I would just probably reiterate is around how incredible it is when you know what your values are. And if you haven't done an exercise, there's lots of free ones online to do that. But I found that to be really transformative for me in how values show up in all of the different pockets of my life. And it really starts to break away from looking at your life in silos. It's not about your love life and your friends and your career and your community. It's about, okay, who am I? How do I want to show up? And how do all of those experiences kind of fuel those feelings? So that would be kind of my one thing that I'd kind of share at the end.
Emily, thank you so much for joining us. It was really lovely to have you here and to hear your stories and your passion and your values. And thank you.
No, thank you, Philippa. Thank you again for the opportunity. It's been incredible, and I can't wait to share how it kind of continues to impact my future. Well, so thank you.
Yeah, well, as we always say on Thai, you're part of the Thai family now, so we will stay in touch. I will hear the progressions and where things go, and yeah, don't be a stranger. So thank you.
Thank you, and have a great evening now.
Yes, you too.
Hey everyone, this is Philippa again. I hope you enjoyed listening. Now this is your chance to get involved with Thai. If you work in the commercial world, whatever your profession, your position, or your experience, then Thai could be for you. You may have been in business for decades, but have always felt there's another way. Or you may just have a few years experience, but want to do more. Equally, if you want to create game-changing employees and see your company impact the world, we've got you covered. Thai has never been more necessary than right now, and you can be a part of it. Reach out to me at philippa@theinternationalexchange.co.uk and I can tell you more. Or join the Thai Accelerator Info Session for more information. apply.thaiaccelerator.com. Better leaders, better companies, better world. I'm your host, Philippa White. This podcast has been co-produced by Berna Vieira and me, music by Berna Vieira, and artwork by Kelps Vahais. I hope we'll meet again soon.